Our reading for today begins in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, that stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumbled because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. When he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So we talked in our last reading from chapter 1 about Peter's goal of solidifying them for a possible future suffering or possibly some suffering they were going through at this time, and was doing something very similar to what the Hebrew writer is doing in that he is putting forth the points to remind them of how precious their faith in Christ is and how they need to remain faithful to him no matter what they might suffer in this world. So we ended chapter 1 with him pointing out that they had been purified by their obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, and that they were born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God, and that that is the good news that was preached to them. They needed to adhere to that which they had obeyed in the beginning. In chapter 2, he says, so he's building on that. He says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And he could have easily put at the end of this verse the statement along the lines of, which is not fitting for Christians. Because that's exactly what he's saying. He says, you have been saved. You were preached the good news. You obeyed that good news. So put away all that malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Instead, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. That is, that you've tested and you've seen the truth. You've found these things to be true. So as you come to him, verse 4, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, built on that foundation that comes from the cornerstone that is Jesus. And that part of that spiritual house, we are that holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices through our daily lives that are acceptable to God through Christ. So we're still in that contrast of don't go back into malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, all of those things. Instead, line up your life with Christ. Live like you really are that holy priesthood. Live like you really are part of this spiritual house. And then you will be offering up those sacrifices on a daily basis as you live your life. Verse 6, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. No matter what happens in this life, it is the outcome that matters. And in the outcome, they're not going to be put to shame for their faith. They're going to be welcomed into that heavenly abode with God. Verse 7, so the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That which you should base your life off of, that cornerstone, building up from there, instead it becomes a rock of stumbling and of offense because you're unwilling to accept it. It'd be kind of like walking around in the dark and stumbling over. And in essence, that's what we're doing when we're living in sin, is we're stumbling in the dark. They stumbled because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Not that God chose that for them, but they were destined to do it because they hardened their hearts and they were unwilling to follow Christ. Verse 9, you are this chosen race, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he's giving this point that part of being, you know, that spiritual house is that this is the way you're going to be. You're going to be this royal priesthood, the holy nation, a people for his own possession. That is that God desires us and wants us. And by doing these things, we will proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. Verse 10, he gives another contrast. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And if you understand that contrast of before and after, then you understand how important it is to remain in that state of after, that part of that spiritual house. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Exercise that self-control to direct the path of your life following the will of God. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Don't bring reproach upon that spiritual house. Glorify God in the way that you handle things, even in the midst of persecution. Be subject for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. He's talking about government, whether that's the emperor, whether that's the governor, and the purpose of government is to be a terror to evil. Paul wrote about that in the book to the Romans. And here he says, you know, they were sent to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Now, government doesn't always carry out that role well, but that is the role that was given to them by God. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. People can't revile you truly for doing good. Well, they can say anything they want, but it won't be generally accepted. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So don't just try to cover things up. Actually change as you have this opportunity to be clean in the sight of God. That's the way you should also live your life, as servants of God. Honor everybody. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And then in verse 18, another type of authority, he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not just the good and gentle, but he says also the unjust. And that might be a kind of a hard pill to swallow, You know, if somebody's unjust toward me, I'm supposed to still give them, you know, respect as the one who has authority over me? And the answer is yes. You are to conduct yourself honorably. I don't think that he means that we have no recourse whatsoever. Obviously, if we are being mistreated and there's a way to rectify that mistreatment, we can do so as long as we continue to conduct ourselves honorably. But he says you can't return evil for evil. You can't be evil just because they are. So whether you have a good master or a bad one, you still have to submit to them. Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you sin you are and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. There's nothing that can be said against you when you suffer for doing good, and you know that you will be found faithful in the eyes of God for doing so. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. And what was that example? He didn't commit any sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. And he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Understand, Jesus had the power to get back at those who mistreated him if that was what he wanted to do. But that was not the righteous thing to do, and so that is not what he did. And that should be our example, to live in that same way. Verse 24 and 25, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness, and by his wounds we've been healed. For you were like straying sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Again, now we're back to that point of this is what you have gained in Christ, and it's not something you want to abandon nor give up. So very important points there in 1 Peter chapter 2. We will continue in our next reading going into chapter 3. In the meantime, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.